ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we have seen how Yajnavalkya started teaching his beloved disciple, no longer a wife, but one of the greatest disciples, equivalent, if not more, to Janaka Maharaja. He started teaching about the Atman. One of the very first questions that pops up in our minds can be, why should we have love for Atman? We equate, we experience, and we love only what gives us joy. So earlier we have seen how Yajnavalkya wants to identify that Atman alone is the true source of every type of joy. So if we look at it from the Panchakosha viewpoint, whatever happiness we derive from Anabrahma, that is nothing but reflection of the Brahman's Ananda through the Annamaya Kosha. Similarly, we have to understand about the rest of the four koshas also. Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya. But kosha means limitation. And so we have to go beyond all limitations. We also discussed that if Brahman is infinite, why are we experiencing limited happiness? And this limitedness of the limited happiness is unlimited. If a person is eating a small bit of a sweet, his happiness would be only a small bit. But if he gets stomach full of sweets, by sweets I mean any food that gives him greatest joy, we have so much of specification. We want only this if we can get it. Our happiness depends upon how much object is yielding, both quantitatively as well as qualitatively. And to that extent would be our love for that object. We do not love the object for its own sake. In fact, if we delve deep into the mysteries of the Vedanta philosophy, even the very existence of any object is derived only from the infinite existence of Brahman. Any type of consciousness every living being has, whether that awareness is small or big, for a short duration, long duration, it is also deriving its sustenance only from the infinite consciousness called Chit, from Sat, from Chit. And besides infinity, there cannot be anything else, unlike mathematical infiniteness. In the knowledge of mathematics, strangely, there can be many varieties of infinitudes. But unlike that, this infinitude of Vedanta, it contains every infinitude of the mathematician and much more. In fact, we cannot think about it because our thinking runs through the prism of time, space and causation, which is highly limited. The very word time means limited, space means limited, causation means limited. So Yajnavalkya wants to drive this wonderful, ultimate, supreme truth into the mind of each one of us, but through Maitri. And there is another significance Maitreyi being a woman and being a wife, that is no bar. Age is no bar. Gender is no bar. Time is no bar. Nothing is there a bar. If at all there is a bar, there is an obstruction. We are the creators of that obstruction. But once anyone decides to get out of this limitation, that person can expand himself until he becomes the infinite, in which case I and Brahman, God and I, do not exist at all. There is no Dvaitam will be there. Ekam Sat Advitiyaha. So that is the lesson. He himself, Yajnavalkya himself, realized, but he wants to convey it to, through Maitreyi, like Arjuna conveyed his message of the essence of all Upanishads, through the Bhagavad Gita, Yajnavalkya, through the medium of people like Maitreyi, Janaka, and other great seekers of Brahman in the court of Janaka Maharaja. He wants to teach all of us. And just as there is lot of differentiation between the various scholars in the court of Janaka Maharaja, so there would be vast difference from a just born baby to the most ripened old man who spent the whole life in doing sadhana. We generally say there is infinite amount of difference. So it doesn't matter. There must be a starting point. The first step had to be taken. That's what Yajnavalkya started. What did he say? He said, you analyze your life. He is sending that message to all of us. You analyze your life. And if you are honest about yourself, how to analyze? What am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I talking? And then, these are not without any goals. Every thought that arises has a goal in life, including the most wasteful thought. There is a goal. When a person cannot pass time, he will be thinking all sorts of rubbish. So that, what is the purpose? Maybe many times that person is quite aware, I should not be thinking these thoughts. I should not be speaking about these thoughts. But in spite of being aware, the person helplessly is carried away, as it were, by his own mind. Everything is in the mind. Bondage is in the mind. Liberation is in the mind. Happiness is in the mind. And unhappiness is in the mind. Everything is in the mind. You remove the mind, nothing will be there. That's what we had discussed, how Ajatashatru was analyzing the state of deep sleep. And when deep sleep can be achieved permanently with full consciousness, then we become knowers of Brahman. So you ask yourself the question, why am I thinking this thought? Because boredom inflicts injury upon me. I want to counter boredom. So I think lot of things. I speak lot of irrelevant things. I do also lot of irrelevant things. What does a monkey do? Every millisecond, it is exhibiting restlessness. And we are no less. And these are not my words. Swami Vivekananda compared every human being, especially the mind, to a monkey. So he said, normal mind is like a monkey's mind, restless. Then it drank, it was drunk with intoxicating liquor. Then it was stung by a scorpion and it was possessed by a demon. Now, who can describe the condition of that man? Because remember, we may use the word mind, but we don't know anything else excepting total identification with the mind. I am happy, there is a thought in the mind. And I feel I am happy, unhappy, restful, restless. That is our condition. What does Swami Vivekananda mean? By nature we are restless. And here is something most important point. Why are we restless? albeit unconsciously, we are restless because we recognize the fact, I do not belong to this world. Nothing in this world belongs to me. And yet, I cannot fathom the mystery of this life, this universe. I am missing something, but I don't know what I am missing. I remember a beautiful Greek philosopher's action. Every day, he used to go to a big shopping mall. He never purchases anything. He goes on going from one department to the other department. So some of his own disciples saw him there and asked, Sir, you never buy anything. Why do you waste your time visiting this shopping mall? Then he smiled broadly and said, I have come to see all the things in this shop without which I can live very happily. I have not found so far a single object without which I cannot live. We also live without happiness. But happily I can live without them. This is called the very pinnacle of renunciation. Of course, don't go on to any shopping mall after this and go on seeing how many things I could be without. This is a great lesson we have to learn. So, what is this anecdote for? We are completely restless. What for? Our unconscious, what is called irrepressible knowledge that this world doesn't belong to me. My parents are not here. My source is not here. But why am I here, roaming about? Akarana. Here, beautiful word. Akarana means without any cause. You ask any ordinary man, why are you here? I have come for such and such a purpose. But Swami Vivekananda, or somebody composed that most meaningful bhajan, Manochalo Nijani Ketane, Sangshar Videshe, Videshir Beshe, Brahmo Kenao, Akarane. Your dress is complete. Not only you are in a foreign land. What is foreign land? Anatma world. And you are dressed as one of the anatmas. Videshir Beshe, Videshe, Brahmo Kenao. Why do you roam about? I don't know. Why I roam about? If I know why I roam about, I would be the most wonderful person in this world. I am seeking something, but I am not clear at what I am seeking. So this is the real purpose. Unconsciously we are seeking our own nature, true nature. So not knowing that, we run, say a husband runs to a wife. Perhaps I can find myself in this object. No. So you apply it to the everything else. So what is it that I am seeking? Myself. And the scripture tells us what we are. What is it? I am Ananda Swarupa, Brahmananda Swarupa. So that is, we have already seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter, that the only goal of life is the realization that I am Brahman. Realization of Brahman means realization of the knowledge that I am Brahman. There is no other Brahman excepting me. And that was the realization, that is the realization, that would be the realization of every knower of Brahman. Put in devotee's language, you go to Vaikuntha, go to Kailasa, what is the assumption? That I will be permanently happy because Narayana will protect me there. I will be seeing Narayana. I will be experiencing Narayana. This is better word, not seeing, experiencing Narayana. And what is Narayana? Sat Chit Ananda. I will be experiencing Shiva, Devi, Paradise, Kingdom of Heaven. That very word, Kingdom of Heaven, Paradise, they all represent only pure, unbroken happiness. So we are seeking only happiness. And what is the source of happiness? Brahman. And who is Brahman? Myself. That is the realization. But what is this world created for? for us to climb to that state as if I want to play with myself. I dwell on the roof of a 5-storied house, but I come down to the ground now and then to amuse myself, and then I get tired. I want to rejoin my mother and I go back. That is the purpose. So, what is the final light by which we have to understand this whole section, mantra? It says, nobody loves anybody, everybody loves Ananda. So, everybody loves Ananda. Atman is of the very nature of Ananda. Atman doesn't have Ananda. Atman is Ananda. Having is a possession. And one who possesses is separate from what is possessed. I have a house, but I am not the house. I have a dress, I am not the dress. That is how we have to understand. So in this world, no object loves any other object. But every object, it serves a purpose. What is the purpose? I can look myself and get glimpses of that nature of mine, because every object is a reflection. And we have to understand, when we see a good reflection, which means I become happy, that is a good experience. And when it is obscured, I experience suffering, unhappiness, I start counting time. I explained earlier that Ananda, bliss, happiness, and time, they do not go together. If you are happy, you transcended time. If you are unhappy, you are counting time. If you have a headache, time passes very slowly. And if you are very happy, time doesn't exist, because you alone live. That is called one without a second. So Yajnavalkya want to teach this. Do not discard any object, saying that this is mithya, unreal. No. See, you try to see your reflection and try to awaken yourself. Become aware. If this changeable object can give me so much of happiness, even though for a short time, changeable time, how much happiness can derive if I can get a reflection of myself which will remain permanently? And Brahman or God is that mirror in which I get permanent reflection of myself. And once a person gets this permanent reflection, he forgets the reflection and the reflector and remains as himself or herself alone. That is the experience, Aham Brahmasmi. With this background, we can very quickly go. As I said earlier in the last class, Yajnavalkya repeats it, giving 11 examples. And we have also discussed, a husband doesn't love his wife for the sake of the wife. Remember, what is the wife? It is a complex of the body, complex of the mind, jivatma. What happens? Body is changing. Every change brings what is called restlessness within us. So, the mind, is it permanent? No, it is also changing. Is the deep sleep permanent? No, that is also changing. So, that is the lesson we have to learn here. And so, Yajnavalkya wants to take her to arouse in her that never think that any object is going to give you any happiness. First, no object can give you happiness. But we cannot stop seeking happiness. And the only source, one and only source of that happiness is only the Atman and nothing else. So that is how we have to understand this. So a husband doesn't love for the sake of the wife, because even the dullest person knows body changes, mind changes. We don't require any scriptural teaching for this. You just look at the marriages of people. at the relationships of people, at what is happening. So, there are a lot of sermons are going. I am trying to put a little bit of fun into it. American people have elected thinking this person loves us and he gives us tremendous, he promised, I will make you very happy people. But this teaching has to be applied. Nobody loves anybody. Do you really love your president? No, not at all. If he becomes an instrument in your happiness, then you say, I love my president, my country's president, because he is creating my happiness or assisting in making my life a happy life. So, every object is like that. And so, do not rely upon them. Our mistake is, we are mistaking that any object can give us happiness. So, that is the first example. We have to apply it 11 times. A wife, example of a wife also gives back to her husband this in the same coin that he receives. Do we do it consciously? I would say yes, consciously. Mostly unconsciously, but consciously also. How do we know? Because consciously, if we try to get happiness, nobody would ever criticize anybody. Criticism means finding fault. Finding fault means I'm not getting what happiness I expected from this object. As simple as that. So the third one is putranam kamaya. So parents love children, children love parents. So you have to extend that meaning. Friends love friends, etc. So enemies love enemies. Beautiful example. So if there is a common enemy, then his enemies join together and they pretend to love. They pretend we unite. Really they don't. They want to finish off their opponent, but a single one cannot do. So they combine together, do attempt to try to suppress, oppress, kill, destroy, etc. And then we have to learn lessons. If only our devotees study a little bit of history. And what does history say? That there is no time when there are no wars. There is no time when people did not oppress, suppress, destroy, kill, loot. History will not tell you that there was a period, sometimes a little bit of time, relatively short bit of time, when there is not that much of conflict, but the very conflict is not only outside, between people, between nations, but between even the family members. That is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. This Kauravas represent one end, Pandavas represent another end, and it is categorized. Good, the fight between, the struggle between the good and the evil. Finally, the good wins. That is why Satyameva Jayate. But what they don't put in brackets is Satyam conquers, gives the result. Maybe after a long, long, long time. That we should not forget. So, all this is created by God for us to learn a lesson. You strengthen your muscles of running away, of dispassion, of discrimination by observing these things. And the more you love, the more you have to struggle, suffer to get rid of this attachment. And that loving to the very highest pinnacle is the precondition for turning it towards God. Remember the stories of Bilva Mangala, Tulasidasa, Ratnakara, Saint Augustine, who led a very irresolute life until his conversion had come. And if we study history, we learn a lot of valuable lessons. A lot. So Yajnavalkya is citing. Why so many examples? Why so many same words are repeated? Because our Upanishadic rishis had realized a fact. Unless we repeat these things several times, the truth doesn't sink into our unconscious mind. We do not remember it. So that is why nowadays I am sending the teachings of Bhagavan Buddha. If you notice the linguistic expression, so same idea is expressed in both positive and negative languages, and it is repeated. So many people, they question themselves, why is this man wasting my time? What he wants to tell is, everything, if anybody is evil, evil will make him get paid back sooner or later. Somebody is righteous, he will enjoy felicity, will enjoy upliftment. But the same thing has to be repeated. How long? Until that sinks into our very unconscious mind. And once an idea enters into the unconscious, and in modern language we call it a habit. What is a habit? That even without thinking, when we think in a way, speak in a way, act in a way, that is called a habit. So that is the purpose. This is no fault of the Upanishadic teacher. And remember, in the olden days, the older time, the further back we go in time, the less distractions are there. Nowadays, the greatest enemy, according to Yuval Harari, and which is absolutely true, is social media. So, one, just a small precaution here. The social media, like WhatsApp application, etc., in many cases, it sends wrong message. Not only that, according to Harari, that the same message is edited to each individual so that it can exert the strongest influence upon that person. Of course, I do not know about it. I have not come across because I don't read your social media. But then it is possible, probably they are doing it. I don't know. So what would they do? Repeat. Repeat again and again. This nation is bad. This religion is bad. These leaders are bad. These people are bad. Go on doing it. And what we hear many times looks like obvious truth. That is why we have to be very cautious about, avoid it if possible. Or if you want to have WhatsApp application messages like what I am sending. But many people, even our own devotees, they take to this WhatsApp application channels. They create their own channels. What type of rubbish, especially meaningless, trivial matters, they are posting on their posts, and they want the whole world to notice them. I cannot believe this horror. Our own devotees, I am not talking about any other devotees, Ramakrishna Mission devotees, they are sending the most possible rubbish on their channels. Be very careful. At least do not waste your time. As Latu Mara says, if you want to waste your time, you go to sleep. Coming back to our subject, I think I have given you enough background. So, a husband doesn't love his wife for the sake of the wife, but for whatever reflection of happiness he could squeeze. But he only loves happiness. And he wants infinite happiness, unbroken happiness. And that is, the only source is Atman is infinite, Atman is unbroken, one without a second. That is what said Satyam. Satyam means that which never changes. Jnanam, this is the highest knowledge. Anantam, infinite. So, realize yourself to be the infinite. That is the message. And it is of the nature of happiness, ananda. You may say, then why Satyam, Sat and Chit are posited? Because you have to be alive to experience. The experiencer must be present, alive. That is represented by Sat. not only a person must be alive, but to know that I am not unhappy, but I am the happiest person in this world. Just to give an illustration. So you have to be aware. That is why Sat comes first. Ananda comes. Why do we live? For Ananda. How do I experience Ananda? That awareness. What is the awareness? I am Ananda Swarupa. I am Sat and Chit. I, Sat, am awareness, Chit, Ananda Swarupa, Ananda. So they are not three separate things, three ways of describing Brahman. All the three must be taken together. So Yajnavalkya continues, similarly, wife, if at all she loves her husband, only for the sake of the Ananda, that is, she tries to see that Ananda bit of Brahman inside her husband, and so long as she could get, then she loves. The moment she doesn't get, even if she be with him, she will not love him anymore. It is a terrible burden, that's all. Because by tradition, society imposes certain restrictions. So divorce is not permitted in Catholicism. So this is how our beautiful analysis continues. Putrana. So husband, wife, children. That covers practically a person's personal life. Then vittasya kamaya. Vitta means possession. Vitta means money, but it means possessions. So possessions also. A person loves a possession only because if he can derive, so long as he can derive, and that happiness should be proportionate to his labor, then only he loves it. Suppose a man has inherited a big house and then it has become a source. He thinks, I am very happy. Very soon he realizes, it's a big house, so many rooms, and I have to keep it neat and clean. I have to wash it. I have to wipe it. I have to keep it presentable. And it is more than the worth of the labor, and money has to waste. So many people I have seen. We will move, especially after retirement, when the children are living separately, then they say, this is counterproductive. And they buy a small house and try to accommodate them. They are very happy because they don't need that space, and so they don't need to work so much of space cleaning, etc. So vitta represents every type of possession, including beauty of the body also. We have to understand, including intelligence of the mind. Maybe a person develops amnesia. What is the use of his previously what he did? Now he cannot remember what he did at all. We see some aged people suffering from, and we see some young people also deliberately developing that symptom. Then, after Rita, he says, Kshatrasya, we have to live in a society. These Kshatriyas are more like police or military people. So nobody loves a military just for the sake of what service they are rendering. And then we have to understand, Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, nobody loves anybody. Then he says, Lokanam Kamaya. That is, a man can think, I love the world, not only this world, Swargaloka, etc. Does he love Narakaloka? No, absolutely no. But he loves Swargaloka, Indraloka. We have seen nearly, I think, 12 in the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter. But a person, Shrotriyasya cha, Akamahatasya. They derive the same happiness and much more happiness because they have identified themselves with the source of happiness, bliss, which is called Brahman. So there is no desire in them. And desire will not stop popping up until we become, fulfill the source of all Ananda. Every desire is for Ananda only. Nobody says, I want to suffer, and so I desire suffering. No, nobody will say that. Then, loka means bhuloka, bhuvarloka, swargaloka, satyaloka, brahmaloka, indraloka, brihaspati loka, varuna loka, etc., etc. No, nobody loves this world or any other world. But if it yields happiness, so long as it yields happiness, he thinks, I love. That's not love, that's an attachment for the happiness. Then, devanam kamaya. So, many devotees say, I love God. Devanam means gods, plural. Hindus especially belong because other religions do not mention deity. They mention angels, but they do not mention devanam. But Hinduism is one religion which says the whole universe is the outcome of five deities. Akasha Devata, Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, Jala Devata, and Anna Devata. And I also explained, they are sustaining us every millisecond of our life from birth to death. Then, from the Devanam. And we also can extend it and say, not only Devanam, but Deva means God, Brahman. Suppose a devotee is praying to God. Oh Lord, I love you very much. Please grant me this and that. God appears, just imagine, and says, so, you believe in me? Yes. You want me? Yes. But you know, I have to tell you a truth. God tells them, I can give you anything you want, excepting happiness. Let me find out, let you find out and inform me how many devotees of God will remain there. We all love God, thinking he will remove all obstacles for our happiness. What we really love is Atma, and that Atma is Ananda Swarupa. If any God turns out to be Nirananda Swarupa, that is no happiness, only suffering, then immediately he will divorce from God. So, even God, if God doesn't fulfill my desires, then I'm likely to discard him, and especially God. Bhuta naam kamaya. Bhuta means any living creature, kamaya. And in Sanskrit language, bhuta also means after death, before rebirth takes place, there is an in-between state. And bhuta means a kind of spirit, ghost, etc. Do people love them? Yes, some people worship them. They believe that these bhutas, they can give tremendous happiness. So there are some powers. Some bhutas can give these powers. So there are mantras, and they do this, what is called upasana. And is it true? Yes, really it is true. I have already told you about how many people worship what is called Hayagriva Upasana. Hayagriva is none other than our sun god. Why do? That? Because they want power. Some people do Anjaneya Upasana, Hanuman Upasana, Hanuman Chalisa, they recite. Some people do Lakshmi Devi Upasana, hoping that she will grant them possessions, etc. Really speaking, I have to tell them, Mahalakshmi is the embodiment of happiness. After all, if she gives money, and money makes you many enemies, and you are fearing for your life every second, or the mother gives you, makes you president, how many people have to protect you, and every millisecond you are frightened, who will come and then kick me out? That is why many dictators, before even the thought arises, they go on killing or eliminating, they call it eliminating, so many whom they call that potential rivals, not only rivals, but potential rivals. So, one doesn't love God, one doesn't love any of the world, one doesn't love, bhuta here means any other creature, whether it is a tree or an insect or an animal, etc. Bhutanam kamaya. For I love this bhuta. No, it is Atmanastu Kamaya. For the sake of only Atma, which means happiness, bliss. And then he concludes the 11th one. Nava Are Sarvasya Kamaya. Sarvam Priyam Bhavati Atmanahatu Kamaya. Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. So it is only Nava Are. I am telling you the highest truth which I myself have realized. In anything in this world or everything in this world becomes the most beloved only so long as it yields happiness. Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. But the moment it stops giving or we are unable to squeeze happiness from it, what does it mean? Let me explain. Suppose a man loves sweets and he strives to get as many sweets as he can healthily, possibly, digestibly eats, and he feels, I am so happy. Supposing he is rich and he can eat sweets as long as he wants, however many he wants, at any age he wants. Suppose after some time he develops a terrible stomach problem and he cannot retain even a single thing. So the object is available, but he is not able to derive any happiness from it because the instrument of enjoyment has gone bad. So the instrument can go bad. The circumstances can be unfavorable. The instrument of enjoyment can be sick or diseased or anything like that. Or mentally there is a terrible worry. Any of these are sufficient to block that happiness. Yes, you can eat. That person can eat. But not only will it not give what he expects, it gives what he doesn't want to get. That's why Nava Are Sarvasya Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. It is only for the sake of Atman. And we have seen earlier also that everybody, Atma is dearer than a son, dearer than everything else in this world. We have seen in the very first chapter. I hope you will remember it. No, nothing, nobody loves anything in this world. That is the essence of it. But then what do we love? We love happiness. And what is the source? What type of happiness we all want? Infinite, eternal, unbroken happiness with full consciousness. And where is it available? That source is called Atman. Here instead of using the word Brahman, only the word Atman is used. And so Yajnavalkya concludes. So we have to understand here something marvelous. What is he telling? Oh Maitreyi, each one she is telling 11 times. We have to presume that immediately that truth sank into the very unconscious. That means she will never again love anything else excepting Atman. So she has reached very peak. It's a negative teaching. We have to keep in mind. Nobody loves anybody. One loves only Atman. And Atman is the source of the only source, not only the bigger source, but only source of eternal, unbroken happiness. Not only that. That is a negative language. What is positive language? That's what he comes here. He imparts that invaluable teaching. Atma va are drashtavyah, shrotavyah, mantavyah, nididhyasitavyah. He says, the only goal of life, as Swami Vivekananda says, is, or Sri Ramakrishna says, God realization. He is speaking in the words of a devotee, not an Advaitin, Vedantin. So this Atma alone has to be drashtavyah, means realized. Drashtavyah means to be seen. But here seeing means what? Understanding. Because we use in English language also, when somebody is speaking to us, or when we are reading something, we say, I see. I see means what? I understand. So, realize. What is the Atman? What is that realization? I am the Atman. Therefore, I am the source of infinite, eternal, unbroken happiness. What is the way? I am here. It looks that infinite Atman is somewhere else. Drashtavyaha, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha. So, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha, Nididhyasitavyaha. First you hear about it, go on doing japam of it until the last doubt is totally eliminated and 100% convinced, like Sri Ramakrishna says to Girish Chandra Ghosh, that he has got 125% of faith, Shraddha. That's what here being referred. And then, Nididhyasitavyaha, transform your life, acquire those qualities, become a adhikari, fit person, and slowly progress by going beyond the panchakoshas, and remember that I am the Atman, I am the Ananda Swarupa. Ananda Maya has to be transcended. I am Ananda Maya Matmanam Upasankramya, etc. Idam Sarvam Viditam Bhavati. Then, after realization, Vijnanena, what happens? Idam Sarvam Viditam Bhavati. You understand the mystery of life. You understand who you are. Not only you understand who you are, you understand what everything else. And that is called Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma. We will talk about this in our next class. Om Jananeem Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.